All right, this podcast is brought to you by Home Theater Solutions. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems and security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit them at htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. It is January the 5th, 2022. Today's guest is Joe Beret. How is it, buddy?
Good, man. Thank you.
You are from webcostudios.com.
That's right. Yep, yep. I started a web company about 13 years ago now.
13 years. Well, I thought it'd be fun. My wife, I guess, met you, and she's like, you got to have this guy on. He seems like a super great guy, and you have your own business. So I'm like, hey, that's a perfect candidate for me.
Cool.
We chatted a few times on the phone. I found you to be super nice, very interesting. I thought it'd be great to have you on and, learn about web design. Are we still web designing? Is it a big deal? How are we feeling?
You know, it's really interesting you ask that question. I see all the time on Facebook, and I have this conversation with my wife all the time about the lowest common denominator, yeah. The least common denominator. I just saw a website, get a website for as cheap as $600.
Yeah.
And then I saw one even better than that, and I forget the name of the company now, but they were saying $500 is too much, $600 is too much. Get one for $149.
Right.
And I thought, wow, that's really devaluing the work that goes into this stuff.
Listen, $149 website's a piece of junk. Let's just be honest.
I agree.
We all know that by now because every one of us has at some point decided we're going to become a little small business out of our living room and probably went and tried to design our own website and realized I need some help. I mean, I've done it twice. So it is a $149 website is not going to work.
It's not, but, you know, I think everybody is suckered into the idea that at some point in time, money always plays a part into a decision.
Mm.
And so there's always, I think, that low-hanging fruit concept.
Yeah.
Well, what can I get? That, I think, is where it's interesting. I think that to be really clear with my approach to web design, and I think this is what everybody needs to know is different from the cheap ones.
Right.
Or from, well, no, cheap. Is people think my business is technology. And my business is people. Technology is just the way we serve working with people.
So would you say that's more of a nuance? People are nuance, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean...
Well, I built an app once, and I was like, you know, what's Facebook really? I mean, it's what? A line? What are you up to? And, you know, a bunch of people? So I'm like, it was pretty simple. I'm like, I'll build my own Facebook. And I used a company, some folks over in India, in fact. Great mm-hmm. group, you know, only because I couldn't afford, you know, to pay for it here in America. But we start building this app, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, you know, can't we make the pictures turn? You know, can't we make them 1080p? Oh, sure, that's extra. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh. Mm-hmm. And then you don't realize all the great nuances, like with Facebook or something like that, you know, just the fun little things, and you start wanting them in something that you're building, and you find out that, yeah, so you can get something fairly cheap, but it's missing a lot of the nuances that we've all become accustomed to enjoying, and that's where a lot of the value is. I mean, we can build something, you know, from A to B, but then all of a sudden you start putting the human side to it, and then all of a sudden you realize that it's not as good until you put that stuff in.
There's also the idea of service after the sale.
Right.
I can't speak for other people, but I know for myself, when I talk with clients, we always address the potential pitfalls going in before we even build a website.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you are at something. I don't care how good your programming is or your programmers. Stuff breaks. That's just the reality of it. Stuff doesn't work. So you need to know you have somebody in your corner when that happens. Working on it, maybe even before you as a consumer know there's a problem.
Right.
You know, when my clients call me, I tell them all the time, you're always going to talk to me, and I always have an answer for you. It might be a lie right away. You know what I mean? If they're the nervous type, and I need to keep them like on an even keel.
Right.
But we know we're going to get whatever problem they have taken care of.
Right.
But the point is that they need to have a touch point to say, hey, this person really has my best interest at hand, not just taking $149 out of my pocket. Because, you know, $149 isn't a lot.
Right.
But it is if it keeps piling up and well, you're never and getting anywhere.
That's what happened with my app. I'm like, I got $3,000 I'll spend on this. $25,000 later, I'm like, ugh. And then you get it all built, and then you find that you have to pay, like, you know, $300 a month to maintain it. And you're like, what? I didn't expect this.
So what was it, like, what was the app? I'm kind of curious. What was
it was called the Rehoboth Social. I still have it. In fact, I kind of screwed up. And I don't know, maybe you and I can talk about it afterwards. We pulled the web address off of it to use it for an email. And then when I realized when we did that, it shut the app down. I tried to put it back on, and it was having some struggles. And then, of course, now we need to spend more money. And I'm just, I've spent so much money on that, I was just done. So I still have it. You know, and I think, you know, one of the things about today is, we have Facebook. I mean, if you want to have a business and you just want people to know you're open in your hours and, you know, the simple things, you probably can survive on Facebook. I mean, Facebook seems, and I feel like this, and I kind of, just even when we just went through this whole weather event, you know, now everything is an app, right? And you can find out just the simplest little things on an app. My in-laws are like, oh, check out this new weather app. And I'm like, but I need a website. I was like, kind of a weird story, but when we That's got cool. this storm the other day, I realized we don't have a weather channel because we stream all of our television. I think we use YouTube TV. There's no weather channel on YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, huh, we don't have a weather channel. So I start kind of Googling around, and I found there's a lot of these great weather nerds on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But to really get into the weather that they're showing, you need to go to their website. Because they have everything in there. You know, it's not just an app. I mean, they're talking trends, they're talking models, they're talking different, you know, the European model, all this different stuff. You can't find that in their app. You know, so this was a great example of why a website is still good. Now, if you're just, you know, hey, we're open, you know, more than likely you could probably get away with Facebook and stuff like that. But it's the websites that are super informative, and there are good ones out there.
You know, you mentioned Facebook, and I mean, I think everybody, almost everybody, at least by default, has a Facebook profile or something.
It's the new Yellow Pages.
Yeah, you know, and it's cool because you can connect with people in different ways. Although, as an aside, I think that the more ways we have to connect with each other, the more striated we become and find it difficult to connect. But I think that's a whole other thing. But with Facebook, if you rely on that for your business, you're really waiting to get a good kick. Because, and I don't mean a good one, because like it's going to be something where we have a client in Texas who, when Facebook went down and Instagram went down, he was doing everything through his website based off his Instagram feed. And that was gone. So we always, and maybe we're biased, you know, I'm sure I am, obviously, but I always push for a really good website that everything else feeds into, because there's no way to really control. I'm looking at your shirt right now, the FTB, you know, for the brand, you know, everybody's got a brand to build, you know, and that's the other thing. I mean, we're about building brands with people.
This is actually a Pat McAfee shirt.
Okay, that's cool.
There's a guy I follow, but go ahead.
But still, I mean, it's the idea is there. Everybody's Absolutely. Got a brand, personal or otherwise. You know, we, in addition to websites, we do marketing. And again, it's for people building brands, whether they're personal brands, whether they are business brands, whether it's a combination of the two. You know, it's different for everybody. But going back to Facebook or anything, if you're relying on one source for everything, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. Well, and it's terrible. I mean, if you're trying to build a brand, it is exhausting this time in my life, at least. I mean, you've got so many
what is it now?
options. It's just, and then you're at some point, you're like, why am I doing this? Like, you know, for fame. I mean, then what happens? You become famous and then you're like, then what? It's just, it's maddening, to be honest. But, you know, you kind of, you know, I'm in the hair business. We had a website. This is a great example of why it's important, I think, to use a person like yourself who actually knows what the hell they're doing. You know, I had somebody build me a website early on, and it got hacked, and it just turned green with this crazy face on it, and basically the guys is just laughing at me, and I call the person. I'm like, don't we have some sort of security or something? Well, I don't know. It was like above his head, above his pay grade, figuring that part out. And we had to shut it down. It was basically a waste of almost $1,000 for that website. So, you know, it is important to find somebody that knows what they're doing, because you can have a lot of stuff put into it and be a complete waste of time if you don't have, like, the right security and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, tons of pitfalls there. I mean, the security is a big issue, which is becoming more and more. In fact, it's become required, really, for a lot of people, and they don't realize that. They're not shutting sites down yet, but there are a lot of things that are going on that if you don't have a secure website, you can have what happened to you, obviously. But even, Google, for example, will start kind of dinging your site without it being secure. And then something I found interesting and nobody's talking about is ADA compliance. Mm. So Americans with Disabilities Act. That was put into effect about 1994, just in general public, you know, for like access, you know, not only parking, but ramps, things like that. So that keeps getting extended into different realms, and one of them is websites. So what we do now, we really won't build a website unless a client lets us do ADA compliance for it.
So what would that be? What would that look like?
Basically, it's just a small widget that's attached to the website that enables it to be better used by people with visual and audio impairments.
Wow.
About 20% of the population suffers from some sort of impairment like that. And people that look at me and they'll tell me, oh, I don't need that, you know, or they see it as being like PC. You know, everything is PC or related to politics in some way anymore. And I'm like, forget it being PC. I was like, just look at it from a business perspective. If you can open up your business to 20% more of the population, why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
You know, and this is something that would take a website that would otherwise be harder to use or impossible in some place, cases. And then there's litigation. We have a client in California who we had talked about this with, getting ADA compliance for his site, and he didn't think he needed it. And 6 months later, he called me. He got sued because a guy claimed his site wasn't accessible to him. Now, I think it was a witch hunt because the guy who sued him wasn't even in his service area. So it's just the guys, you know, the money chaser. But I have heard it happening more and more, you know, with lawsuits coming down the pike because no ADA compliance. And I find it interesting that it's not even a topic of conversation. They're talking about $149 for a website.
Right.
But they're not talking about that.
That's interesting. I've never noticed. I mean, I'm not disabled, but I, you know, if I don't have my glasses, I can't see. Oh, so that's interesting. I don't know how that works. You know, My favorite website right now is the James Webb Telescope website. Have you seen this?
I have not seen this.
Dude, it is amazing. And they have a YouTube channel, and I think you can follow it on their website or on YouTube. But this, the James Webb Telescope is the telescope that was launched over at Christmas. It was supposed to be Christmas Eve. It was one day late after many delays. But they finally got it up. And this website is so cool. It you interact with it. It has... You know, it tracks the days. And if anybody's been following this telescope, I personally find it absolutely fascinating. I cannot wait till this thing is freaking up and running, because it's going to be very cool. I think it's going to really reveal a lot of cool stuff about our universe. But it takes like 147 mechanisms to open this thing. It's got heat shields and all this great stuff. It is, you know, it's a huge flying apparatus that they fold up into this little thing that fits in a nose cone. And now it has to basically unfold. And the unique thing about the James Webb Telescope is that they're putting it a million miles out. So literally, there's no fixing it if it doesn't work. It does have a shake option. You can hit the shake button, and it will literally shake the telescope, hopefully fixing any...
Like a dog cleaning its coat?
Whatever, just like me trying to fix my, you know, anything. I shake it. So, but it's very cool because... The interaction, and it's, I think it's 30 days to get a million miles out or something like that. But, you know, on day six, you know, they're opening this, and it's just very cool. And there's a message board in it that's kind of like from NASA. And it's, I really, you know, you have websites that are informative on a daily basis kind of stuff, like, you know, hey, we're open. I don't know. And then you have websites that are interactive that are really very, very cool. So how do you... Because I'm sure that website is very expensive, and I'm sure the one that I would make would be very cheap. How do you find something in the middle? Because don't you think websites are changing? I mean, I would hope you would think they're changing.
Well, I mean, everything is. I mean, that's the whole, you know, that's why you have this competition at the price points, because everything's changing. The way you can access technology, coding, for example, you know, it's not necessary to use anymore, at least as it was before. So you're not bound and chained to some, like, archaic code or way of doing things. So, yeah, they are changing, but whether they're informative or interactive, again, going back to that whole personal concept, it really comes down to what the person is trying to display or connect, how they're trying to connect with their potential base.
Right, exactly.
You know, so really, you know, and that's why price points too. I'll get people to say, well, how much will this cost? Well, I don't know, because we haven't even had a discussion yet about what it is that you need. You know, I'm not interested in, if we were building a website for you, for example, I'm not interested in saying, hey, Dave, this is going to cost this much money. Let's go. Right. We can't do that, you know.
So, but I'm sure you have to have some sort of idea. I mean, you can't just have an open checkbook. I mean, I guess through conversation, you probably figure out, you know, well, maybe we need this, and this is the kind of stuff we want people to learn on our site. You're like, okay, that probably takes, I mean, it all ends up being hours. I mean, usually.
It does, and again, it kind of breaks down depending on what it is. Right. So we tell people all the time, we're very upfront about what we do and how it's done. So if we do a website, it's $300 a page, right?
That sounds fair.
And we tell people that this is what it includes. I mean, you know, again, you go through the whole list. I don't like using the word transparency because I think people use that word too much, and the ones that use it the most generally aren't very, you know.
So, very shady.
Yeah, so we just say this is what it costs, and you know, we don't start a project. We don't do anything without the customer knowing exactly what it's going to cost. But again, right. It comes down to a conversation, and then what needs to be done. If we do e-commerce for people, you know, we set them up. And we charge them at that point in time by the piece of product we enter, you know. So that, again, they know, so it's like a shopping list,
right?
You know, if you're going out for the weather we just had, most people have eggs, bread, and milk. You know what I mean? Like everybody apparently needs that. You know, same kind of thing. If you've got a budget in mind, you know, you got to remember too. This is the biggest thing that should change about websites is they're dynamic. You don't put one up and leave it alone. Like, you've got a hair salon.
Yep.
Right? So, styles change, right? I mean, if you did the same one all the time, unless you were doing the girl from Seinfeld years ago, you know, who had the one hairstyle that was 15 years old all the time,
right?
You wouldn't be doing what you're doing. So, you always change. So, your website should change to reflect what it is that you do and how it is you do what you do.
Well, that's a great example because, honestly, the problem that we have with that is that Instagram and Facebook make it very, 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 very easy to post a picture, edit it, and get comments on it. It's very challenging, at least in the website. The website that I have, I don't even do that. I don't even update it.
Right.
I unfortunately, or fortunately for me, have a salon service that allows online booking, and part of their whole service gave me a website. The website is just there. I don't even really know who's even looking at it, because Instagram and Facebook make it so easy. And people follow our Facebook and social media pages that way. I'm not sure how many people follow our website.
So I don't know. I mean, with yours, I don't know. You got to keep a couple things in mind there too. Again, all your eggs in one basket, the basket drops, they all break, right? So that's one element of it. You know, and things like Instagram. And I use that one mainly because, unlike Facebook, Instagram is even faster, you know, it's even more instant gratification, which in reality is what most people seem to be looking for, instant something. So it's great to use those things. I don't tell people not to, but I always think they should be used as a funnel back to your brand, back to your space, your place, your website. Because the other thing is, too, people have painfully short attention spans. You know, if I've done it myself, in fact, I do it on a regular basis on Facebook, where you're looking at something and then, you know, it's the, oh, squirrel kind of deal. And you look at something else.
Butterfly.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. Once they're on your place, at least you have not a captive audience, but an audience that is interested in learning more about you and what you do.
Well, we do have another website that actually is a little bit more, I think, what we're talking about. We do have the Social Podcast Network website. Mm-hmm. And if someone was to go to that, you could find all of the podcasts that we do. If you click on one of the podcasts, you can actually listen to all the podcasts that we do. So it actually has a player. And it actually is a place where we post like our advertisers. You know, we have a couple sponsors that we put on there. So, you know, ideally we'd like people to go to that website and then see the sponsors. You know, if I was good, right, if I knew what the hell I was doing, you could probably sell space. You know, I know some other people that very big into selling advertising space on their website. I don't get into it. Just don't have the time or the energy.
It's a lot of work, actually.
So. Yeah, it's a lot of work. But, you know, we have some advertisers on there, and people come, and if they go to the website, they can see that. So I think that's a good reason to have a website. But,
well, I mean, think about it. So I'm curious, do you have any kind of metric on the Social Podcast Network in terms of what kind of traffic you get?
I probably do.
So you don't know it then?
I don't know it.
Okay. And that's, you know, and that's the reality for most people. They don't study any metrics to know what's working or not working. And that's really a key element in anything.
Sometimes I don't want to know. Like, I love putting in the work. I work hard at it. But I don't want to find out that nobody's looking at it. Well, I don't want to find out that we're failing, you know, because in my mind, I'm failing. You know, I always worry. I always go to that side. I'm like, well, I just don't want to look.
Yeah, but that's the thing there, man. I think that's a healthy kind of concept. I mean, if you think you're failing, don't beat yourself up. I'm not saying that. But if you think you're failing and that drives you to do more and to try to do better, and then it's one thing to never give yourself credit. It's another to say, hey, listen, I'm doing good or I'm doing well or I'm doing what I want to do, but I can do better.
Well, this podcast has always been about just helping other people. You know, this isn't about me being anything other than just a guy helping. You know, I don't want to be, you know, plus you have a lot of examples of people that are doing stuff out there and they're killing it. You know, you see a guy, you know, do a picture and 10,000 people like it. And you're like, well, I mean, I've taken that same picture. Why? And you can get really insane over that kind of stuff. I have to remember why I do this. And the reason I do it is just to be one small business helping another. I don't want to become super awesome at it, because then all of a sudden you're kind of handcuffed to it.
Well, yeah, but look at what happens when, look at Dogfish.
Yeah.
Right. So Sam is anything but handcuffed to Dogfish now. I mean, he's the face of Dogfish, right? And he has been for years. Since what, like 96, I think. But like, that's not his company anymore. In terms of like, so many people have gotten behind what he built,
right?
That the swell under it is.
He's got a great website.
he does, and that site, because I've watched the site over time.
Yeah,
I mean, that site has changed quite a bit over time.
It's a fun site.
And that's what it should be.
Right.
You know, but that's what I was saying earlier about building a site for your community, you know, your specific like community that you're looking to zero in on. And that site also reflects, I think, how Sam's not chained to the company anymore, because so many people are like almost disciples of Dogfish. You know, even it's taken on its own life. And again, I think it's reflected well in the website. And you got to remember, too, that's more than the developer doing that. And I'm saying that even for myself. You know, you've got to have that good relationship with the client.
Yeah.
So you can put together something where they want to see it happen, too. And you're going to them, like, you're coming together to put something together. But you know, to your thing, it's...
Well, and I think a lot of people see it like a Dogfish website, and you're like, damn, I want... Yeah, hey, Joe, I'm going to go ahead and ask for that site, but with my business on it. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's probably a $100,000 website.
And it's not something you're going to build right away anyway. It's a product of growth.
Yeah.
It's really a product of time and growth. That doesn't happen overnight.
It's a fun website. I saw it. It was great.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
One of the things I was wondering, because we talked a little bit on the phone, you know, I watched this podcast with Tim Dillon on Joe Rogan's podcast, and they're talking about the metaverse. And I had, you know, I've seen Ready Player One. I have kids. I have a 10-year-old. You know, my 9 and 10-year-old love the Oculus. They love the the VR world. My 16-year-old, he's not as big of a fan. It's kind of weird. Just that 6-year difference in the interest just isn't the same. But, you know, we see crypto coin and cryptocurrency, and people are like, you got to get into cryptocurrency. And I'm like, eh, I don't care. You know, I'm too old. I just don't feel like fighting that fight for money, right? And I'm like, who's using it anyway? Well, I watch these two podcasts, and it turns out that this metaverse, which completely makes sense, but, you know, it's really taken off, and people are going into the metaverse, and they're hanging out in there. And, you know, if you and I went in there, and we'd probably need to find someone to kind of create us a cool emoji, right? I don't know what yours would be. I'd want fire coming off of my head or something cool, big wings. I don't know, but I'd want to be really awesome in the metaverse. And we're finding out there's a lot of young people that are doing artwork in there, you know, building emojis, building real estate. You know, Snoop Dogg just bought a huge part of the, I think it's called the Sandbox for Metaverse that they're building. There's several of them, but he bought this big chunk, and now everybody's buying all the real estate around Snoop Dogg. It's this whole push to go in there. And I'm like, well, how would, like, would website, I mean, like, one day would I go into the metaverse, my goggles, I come to Joe's Meta Shop, and I'd be like, you know, I mean, do you see that transition, or do you have the energy for it? I mean, it's...
That's a good question. So, as far as... There's going to be a blurred line.
And I also wanted to say that, you know, they're paying for everything inside the metaverse with crypto coins.
Right, right. Crypto's weird because, like you, I don't have much of an interest in really getting into it, and there's different reasons why. But to be fair, it's really no different than any other currency that was created out of nothing. You know, I mean, people went from trading to...
Well, it does have... I mean, it's, you know, it's not sponsored by the United States government.
Well, it's not yet, but I mean, they're getting... I mean, they have their own division now that looks specifically into cryptocurrency. You know, crypto's mined. Which right. is interesting.
Which I don't even understand that.
Well, you know, and here's what's funny about that, just the mining part of it, is that people talk about, you know, being carbon neutral and all kinds of stuff and how bad different things are for the environment. But what they don't realize is with cryptocurrency, even though its mining is all done online, the amount of electricity that it takes to mine it is staggering.
You can't even buy a decent video card right now. Everything like that has been purchased. These guys, I mean, I've talked to several people. They've got computer rooms full of computers mining cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
I mean, just grinding it out. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
No, I get it, man. That's the thing, though. I mean, for me, it's tough because I kind of have my hands in.
It's like the gold mining days in California.
It's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
It's just not as tangible. Yeah. I mean, it is and it isn't, I guess. But that's the thing, though. Where are people going to end up living, so to speak? And you're creating these online or off-world communities.
Metaverse.
Right?
Right.
So is that like an offshoot of like Marvel's multiverse kind of deal?
Yeah.
So how many people want to live there as opposed to where they are now?
Well, that's the thing. You and I don't. But my 10-year-old, he's like, I love it. And, you know, that's this transition. I don't know. COVID is kind of, you know, it's pushing us. It's given us the green light to almost go into this kind of lifestyle, this metaverse kind of lifestyle. Because people are like, well, you know, I can't go outside without my mask. And I can't, you know, everybody's sick. Yeah. And I just assume go in my metaverse. And, you know, I get to see all my friends and I get to be who I want to be in there. And it is actually very cool. I was watching this podcast with this guy, Brian Greene, who was he's a physicist. And he's like, we'll never go to Mars. And the guy's like, why? Why would you say that? He goes, virtual reality will become so good that we will lose interest in going to Mars. We will be like, listen, I can go to Mars right here in my goggles.
Right.
I don't even need to fly in the ship. I don't need to spend 6 months in a ship flying to Mars. I can just do it, and it's probably better, and all your friends are there.
Doesn't that speak to, though, a certain level of complacency? You know what I mean?
Like, aren't we getting more complacent every generation?
Well, you know, that's what every generation says about the new one. So, I mean, you know, you and I are probably from the same one that people are saying, hey, these guys are lazy or whatever. You know, they weren't like we were. So I think there's a certain element of truth or consistency there.
I don't think people are lazy. I don't think the next generation are lazy. I just think that they have the opportunity to do things different than you and I did. It's just technology. It's just advancing. You know, I love when, you know, I remember when like the iPhone first came out or the iPad, and because my kids, I have a, you know, like I said, I have a 9, 10, and a 16. When my 16-year-old was born, they didn't have the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't grow up with an iPad. But then when my second one, Sam, was born, he's now 10, that's when the iPad showed up. And when he was 2 and 3, we got him an iPad. And I remember people saying, these kids aren't going to turn into anything great because all these iPads, right? And then 2 years later, it's like, well, if your kid doesn't know how to use an iPad, he's going to get left behind, right? And all these old people bad-mouthing the iPads, they're now on their phones just as bad. So, you know, I think if I was 10 right now, I'd be loving the Oculus. I mean, I think I would just be as current as whatever would be happening at the time. I don't want to say, you know, these kids are any different or any worse or any better. It's just their time.
It is, but I think, too, I mean, to make a like a monolithic, to create like a monolith about what people do or how people are can get you into trouble, too. And I say that because my son, Joe, who's 12, like he's big on technology. Yeah. You know, but at the same time, he loves picking up, you know, pens, pencils, markers, and doing his own artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, he and I have had pretty lengthy discussions about NFTs. Do you know, like NFTs, non-fungible tokens, non-fungible tokens. Like, so we've had discussions about those things. So he's well aware of it, but at the same time, he's got a really good footing himself for the more tangible type of art. And in fact, we just got him. He's in the vinyl now.
Well, it's funny. If you had, like, my 16-year-old is like, NFTs are terrible. NFTs are trash. I'm like, what? I mean, I just watched the whole thing about this guy. And Beebles, I think his name was. Sold $70 million, $100 million worth of NFTs. I mean, it's basically, and it was interesting because his NFT came in a case. It came... and it came with a hair sample, and it was numbered.
Now, think about this, though. That guy has built himself a pretty big following.
Oh, well, like, dude, huge. He does dailies. Right. He posts daily. He creates art daily.
So I think when we're talking about how things are changing, and, you know, you talk about, like, the metaverse and stuff, in a way, I mean, it's really still just an outgrowth or an extension of the same thing, meaning... He's selling millions of dollars worth of art, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of art based on a following he's created.
Right.
And it's still based on, say, that movie star popularity. Although he's not a movie star, he still has that kind of swagger, that following. If you and I created an NFT, right, most people probably would
still be using as a doorstop.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what I mean? I was doing something the other day that I took some pictures of that I thought, oh, this could be kind of cool, until I kind of stepped back into my reality and was like, no, people are going to think this is ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Most artists that make that kind of money have to die. You know, there's not a lot of artists that are making that type of money that are alive.
Well, that's true, but I mean, like,
it's changing because, you know, I mean, most art that was like that you would buy on a wall, the artist had to have passed on before they're, you know, you don't see a lot of artists selling $1 million. I mean, I think he made nine. I think he sold 100. I think he sold one for. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know what he sold.
Have you seen the artwork though?
Yeah, it's awesome. And I love his. Well, have you seen the animated stuff?
I've seen some of it, and I haven't looked at it like in depth. I've seen a bit of it when I was learning more about the NFTs, and I thought, wow, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen some other ones, the same kind of thing. I thought it was okay. I'm not disparaging the work at all because everybody's got their taste.
Well, and the funny thing is he does it all with a program. So it's all, I mean, and you know, but you can go buy, you know, like, so he's known for doing a lot of Donald Trump stuff. I think the one famous one is of Donald. And I think Hillary's head is in a cage inside his stomach. And he's walking.
And, I haven't seen that.
But,
one.
You know, this guy Beebles is like, hey, man, you can just go online and buy any of this stuff. I just go online and buy a Donald Trump. There's people, And what's funny is, you know, I was reading this the book called The Fourth Turning, and it talks about this sequium of time, these 85-year periods where, you know, basically, which we're in right now, and we're kind of in the crisis, the last 20, and this, you know, it's happened before, and it talks about the saving grace is going to be the artists, the millennials. And I was like, the millennials? I mean, what? But, you know, it's these artists, these people, whether it's a Beeples or you know, if you go into like these metaverses and these people that will do artwork for you and create stuff for you, they're getting paid in crypto coin. This is this whole world that you and I aren't interested in because we're 50, right?
So is it the concept of what you're talking about, the book wise, though, like I'm talking about the artists, and I think this is interesting. Are they saying, are they, is the, that the artist is creating, say, hope for the generation, well, for the people? I mean, what's the, cause I'm kind of curious about that.
I honestly believe that it's because, you know, if you ask me, I could tell you stories from when I was young, and I could tell you stories from when my father was young as a hard worker. You know, if, you know, my dad, oh, when I was seven, you know, my dad grew up down in Ocean City, and he would, you know, they would pick strawberries and blueberries and catch crabs, and then he'd go sweep out the church, and then he'd, you know, live down in Ocean City, his aunts at 7 years old. I mean, he just, you know, he would work one job to the other throughout the day, working hard, right? And then as I was a kid, you know, I didn't work at seven, but as soon as I was able to, I worked for, you know, $3.10 an hour, whatever it was, and this working hard. And now these new kids, they're going to hear my story, but they're not going to hear that hard working kind of story. I feel like we're able to let that go in a sense that it's not going to, it's hard to explain, but I feel like there's just this, like, working hard isn't always the smartest thing now. I feel like it's working smarter.
I was going to say that's been a kind of like a common mantra, though. Don't work harder, work smarter.
Right.
And I think that's always been the case for, I think, pretty much every successful business owner, too, I think. Yeah. You know, has been, okay, I've really busted my ass good on this. Now,
well, don't steal from yourself. I think that's always been my motto.
Yeah. I mean, you just, I don't know. There's, you know, the expression of the more things change, that kind of deal. And I still think we look at that, and there's some truth to that. I mean, things are changing in terms of, you know, again, people creating their own realities, living in their own realities, but that had to extend from something. And I've known people that are like huge, avid book readers, and they would never do anything unless they were working or something like that. They're in a book.
And yeah, I don't get that either.
Well, but the thing is, though, I mean, I think for them, there's their alternate reality. Right. You know, they just sink into it a little more. I think it's a little different, you know, a book club kind of deal. I mean, you know, if you're all there and then you're all reading a book, I mean, or you're discussing it at that point in time. But, you know, I think they've created their own kind of reality. So I think we have consistencies. It's just a way we're getting to them, like back to the whole website idea of it's technology serving people, not just technology for technology's sake.
Right.
You know.
Well, I guess that was kind of where I was going, is like as a person that's, you know, watched, you know, websites even just show up, right? There was a time when you and I were kids, there was no websites. I mean, that's new to our lives.
Yeah.
But now we're going into this new world, this metaverse, and how do we transition? How do we take what we do now in this world and be available to do it in the new one? You know, this guy was saying, you know, hey, you can create your own Dogecoin. You can create your own cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I don't understand. He goes, yeah, basically, like if you wanted to, I could say, hey, you know, starting now, if you want to pay for services at my salon, you have to use the salon coin. Mm-hmm. And they have to purchase the coin from me to use it to purchase services from me. And I was like, oh, my God. But at my age, I'm like, I really don't want to do that. But at 20, I'd be like, yes, let's do this. This sounds awesome, you know?
I think it comes down to the person. I mean, there's so many people I know that don't want to do that. Remember in 2008? Like,
well, I'm the kind of person that would. You know. I like taking on stuff like that, but I'm losing my steam as I get, you know, because I'm 53. It's exhausting to try to keep up with all this stuff, and it seems to be happening so fast now.
Well, it's going to continue to happen faster because as technology continues to take root, kind of just starts to snowball even more and more on its own. The technology for technology's sake starts to grow more and more and faster and faster. You know, before, like I talked earlier about coding, You know, people don't need to do that anymore. Now, people are still doing it. I don't mean that.
Right.
But you have a centralized or centralized groups of people, you know, pockets doing it, so that the general populace using websites can do something more easily. You know, before you had a website built, you were shackled to the developer, because anything you wanted changed, you're done. I mean, they had to do it. With us, if we built you a website, I show you how to use it, I give you the keys to the car. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have to talk to me again as far as getting anything done on it, because we train you how to do it. If you wreck the car, we charge you to fix it, you know. Sure. But the idea is, you know, that, and that's what code has done. You know, the ability to get away from code free, basically. Although it's still present, it's omnipresent, it's not in your face anymore. But that very kernel of technology there, like, you know, codeless, keeps growing. And that it accelerates technology, I think, almost at an exponential rate.
Why do you think, what would be, if someone came to you and said, listen, I don't know what to do, Joe. I'm not sure. I'm starting a business. Do I need a website? If I do, what's the best kind? You know, do people come with you these kind of questions, and how do you answer it? Because, you know, what's a good reason to have a website?
Well, I think, again, it goes down to getting people to know your brand. You know, people that want to get into e-commerce, for example.
Okay, yes. You know? So this is a place where people come to your website to buy stuff. It's an online store.
Yeah, if that's what you're saying. I mean, if you're doing e-commerce. Right.
So this would be a good reason to have a web. If someone just wants to post their time of their hours, I'm thinking maybe they could just get away with Facebook. But if you're going to do like an e-commerce store, or if you really got some specific things that a website can provide, like, you know, this telescope. You know, this telescope is really, this website's providing me with a lot of information, very interactive, very good purpose for this website. If you want an e-commerce store, is another great reason. You can come in, hey, you want to order our candles, go to my website. We do all the ordering. It goes right to us. We package it.
Again, though, I think even that goes down to, there's a company I saw. They're international now, I guess, and all they sell is candles.
Okay.
And I, for the life of me, I can't see why they're more successful or successful as they are versus some other candle companies or people that I know that do it. Because the product itself doesn't look fantastic. It doesn't look bad. It just doesn't look like there's anything fantastic about it. But
right.
Then I can look back and say, well, these guys have a great-looking website, and they've got people in there who are building that brand at different levels, whereas some people I know making candles, they just have them, you know, even if they put them online, it's maybe through Etsy or something, which is fine. Etsy's got a valuable, you know, place in the market. But, again, it's about building that brand. And that's what I always go back to with a website. You can begin to building a brand, and you can build a brand with help from things like, say, again, I'll go to something like Instagram, or, well, TikTok now is the most looked at. It's the most viewed platform on the web.
Yeah, see, I don't use it.
I don't either, but it is the most viewed at this point in time. So right. You can use that as well. But again, that's why I always talk about, if you're going to do something, you know, have that foothold of a great website that is the focal point and the landing point for everything you do. So if they are looking at something, even e-commerce, you can still set up e-commerce through your site so people can purchase directly from Facebook or from Instagram.
I know. It is. You know, it is complicated now.
That code thing, it's complicated and it's not complicated.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've made it a whole lot easier, but it's also more technical. So at that point in time, that's when it does help to have a guide, so to speak.
One of the downfalls for me with this stuff is that they, you know, they make it sort of easy to get involved. It makes it, you know, amongst your peers, it seems like the absolute thing to do. But then when you have that moment where you're like, I'm so freaking sick of all this nonsense, but you can't shut it down because you're so twisted into it now that you can't let it go. I mean, I remember one day I was like, I'm done with Facebook. I'm just tired of this Facebook nonsense. So I'm like, I'll start a new Facebook so that I can have my business Facebook open, but I'm not going to go on my regular Facebook anymore. And now I end up with two Facebooks and a business Facebook.
So do you try to manage all three?
No.
Okay. So there you go.
I have seven sites.
So you've got...
We got the Discovery Music Channel. We got the Robo Social. We got the In Too Deep. We got the I'm Sorry About Last Night. We've got the all my other ones. I mean, it's... it's a lot.
So I have to ask you this. How many what do you use GoDaddy for, or like when you buy domains?
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch of domains.
Okay. So I was going to... What do you have? Like probably like 100, 200 just sitting around?
No. I probably got 15.
Okay.
I just got a good one. Brandnews.com.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I'm guilty of the same thing. I have what I think are fantastic ideas. Weird
no
times
one's beating
of the day.
Down the door.
You know what I mean? So, but no, but name wise, you know what I mean? So I'll go by the name. Yeah, because I'm like, oh my God, this is fantastic. I don't know what I'm going to do with it because I've got so many things to do now that I haven't finished yet. But.
I've got some good ones. I've got brandnews.com, which I just bought. I was like, I've heard of Brand New, but what about Brand Used? And sure enough, it was there and I bought it. And they've already reached out and said, listen, this probably has some value if you want to put it for sale. I was like, nah, just keep it for
what they value at, do you know?
I think about $1,400.
Because here's what's crazy about that. You know, we talk everything we've been talking about, something that's been going on for a while is how people will buy and manage domain names like they would the market.
There's a guy down in Dewey Beach that has a freaking giant beach house because he bought domain names and sold them.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was looking at a few, like I told you.
Is it Mike Mann? Is that his name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who it is. Yeah. Does he do anything else, or is that always done? I'm just curious if he's that good at it.
I don't really know. A friend of mine was telling me about it. Yeah, I got a buddy. You know, I was
like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's a great. I have New York City Social. I have Rehoboth Social. I bought a lot of socials when I got on my social kick.
So, what do you just have? I'm kind of sitting in the bank right now, and nothing doing. Yeah.
I'm not really. I could care less, to be honest with you. I really, if someone wanted it, I don't care. I'm not. I don't care about the money. It is honestly, money is the root of all evil.
It depends who you talk to, I think, but yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. I think it starts with people. I don't think money is. I think the people are. And I, you know what I mean? I don't want to be like, I just think that people will oftentimes, you know, this is that problem, this is the root of this. Well, the people are the root of the problem because the money doesn't do anything.
Yeah, unless, but people don't make money better, but people money will ruin people. I think it's absolutely money is the root of all evil.
I don't know. I turn off on that one. I think it. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind it can have a negative impact, but I just don't know that I think it's the death knell as opposed to what's behind it as well. You know what I mean? Like somebody created something and all of a sudden figured out what they could get for it. It didn't have to be money at the time. It could be any currency or in transaction or whatever. So, I'm not sure about that one. It doesn't make you a better person. I mean, for people to think that it does, that's the mistake.
Right.
It doesn't make you better. It does make it maybe more comfortable, easier to go out to dinner a few more times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But maybe instead of going out to dinner a few more times, if you got the money to treat people to dinner, that might be a little bit better idea. So putting it to use, you know, so we can actually help people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like what you're doing now.
And this is, you know, we do this for free.
Yeah.
This isn't about any money.
Yeah.
Don't even care. Just like having the conversation and shining a little light. You know, I've talked about it in the past. My buddy Matt, you know, he would help anybody. And I remember someone's like, I'm going to pick up where Matt left off. And I was like, you can't do that. Because he was available for one. You know, most of us work a big portion of the day. But Matt, he worked, but he was always available. But I think we're all available to help in other ways, right? And this is just the way I like to try to help, but it isn't for money, that's for sure.
Well, you know, the key factor, what you're saying there, man, is the help part. You know, being of service to other people.
That's right.
I don't care how much you make, how much you don't make. That's irrelevant. It's a matter of if you can lend some time, lend some support, lend some help. You know, again, the service. I think it's often overlooked.
So are you going to open your website design meta office?
Not yet, no.
Come on.
I still am too firmly rooted in the physical world here too. That I still, you and I talked a little bit before, and I think I mentioned like we have a part of the marketing we do custom cars too.
Oh right,
and again for the brand, it could be for people. We've got a car we're doing for a guy that owns a diner. He's got an old Thunderbird.
Okay.
We got another car we're just doing.
So what do you do to it?
So we do not do. I'll tell you that part of it because I always get this question. Do not do collision work.
Okay.
There's plenty of people that do that, that are, you know, the insurance people like and work with nicey nice and all that kind of stuff. I'm not interested in that. So if I can't change the look of the car, like if we can't cut it up and make it look like something else, or if it's a really cool car and it's a resto of sorts, that's okay too. So it's all custom work though, basically.
So you work on cars?
Well, that's part. Yeah, it's part of something we get. I literally have my hands into. Yeah.
Okay, because that's not website design.
It's not. It is. So that's why. That's why I mentioned earlier. We do website design specifically.
Sure.
And then we do marketing as a whole because, you know, some people have a website and they just want us to do, say, market research for them, analysis, things like that. Other people, again, for doing marketing. So the guy with the diner, you know, he's got a diner.
Yes.
You know? So he bought a 63 Thunderbird and he wants to turn it into something else. And he bought it actually out of New York.
What does he want it to turn into?
It's still going to be a 63 Bird,
right.
But it's going to be something where we're going to, like, you know, we're going to bag it, which means putting airbags on it. We're going to change everything, disc brakes, fuel injection, stuff like that. So it's a drivable, more easily drivable car. So that it's something he can park outside of his restaurant that he can take to shows.
Is this the guy down here on the Rehoboth Diner?
Yeah, for crack, yep.
Yeah, he's got that red car.
Yeah, so dude, he is a junkie when it comes to that kind of stuff.
He's had a Porsche. I remember I was a huge fan of the 928, you know, with the pop-up round lights.
Yep. He's got one.
And he has one, yeah. Yep. I run by there. I mean, I do a lot of running, and in the summer I'll run down the highway by the Rehoboth Diner, and he's always got he's got the Porsche, I think he's got the red car, I don't know what else he's had. But
well, the red car is a Mitsubishi, there's 3,000 GTs.
Right.
And he's got a few of those, actually.
He loves that car.
He loves those things. And the one he's got out front is actually
I love that car.
Pretty
I thought that was
piece.
A fine-looking car.
Yeah, it's a real neat car.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all-wheel drive. I mean, yep. You know, that one was the VR4. That one's a pretty neat piece. But he's picked up a few other things. He's actually got a couple of Thunderbirds, like a couple older ones too.
Well, we probably shouldn't put his business out there, but he just seems like he's a great guy. He's got a
yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, that's the thing when I talked earlier about businesses and stuff. Like, yeah. I'd like to truly enjoy working with who I work with, and he's a nice person. He's a helpful person, like we talked about, and that's another reason I like, you know,
yeah,
being able to deal with him.
Does he have a website?
We built it, actually, yeah.
So if I was to go on to, what do they provide, like, their menu and specials, and is it an interactive website?
You know, it's really not, and I'm saying I built it because we did build it for him and we're talking about him.
Sure.
It's a conversation he and I have had, and actually had a couple of weeks ago, about going in there and revamping it, because it's so antiquated at this point in time.
Well, and websites are like that. You know, you're like, oh, I should do something with this thing. But is it doing anything? Oh, it's doing something. Should I update? It's like, it's terrible. You don't know what to do.
Well, again, it comes down to having a metric. You know what I mean? Like, you need to know if it's working. And you need to know, remember I mentioned earlier e-commerce, and we kind of went off on that side of it. People who tell me, well, I want to get into e-commerce. Well, why do you want to get into e-commerce? I mean, I know from a ground level perspective, you can sell to more people all over the world. Yes, that's true. But are you ready to take, I'm not ready to take your money. I'm ready to help you get to the next level. And so my question with e-commerce is, are you ready to get into e-commerce? You know, if all of a sudden you're really busy, can you supply the product? What are you selling in the first place?
Right.
And what kind of competitions have in the market? Because some people just get into a bloodbath where it's, listen, I'm going to sell this as cheap as I can because I can. Because I can absorb some of this in the market.
Well, and you don't have, you know, brick and mortar rent and stuff like that. So if you're doing it completely website out of your living room, you can save a lot of money.
You can, but at the same time, you still have to understand the workload that's involved there. And a lot of people
don't. Dude, I get it, man. I started an econ. I sell hair products. I was like, I'm going to sell all my, I'm going to be a hair product guru.
Are you?
Well, that's what I said. So I set up this thing. I'm taking all the pictures. I'm posting them on my, you know, I built some website. I mean, you know, there's also options out there to build it, box them all together, put it all together, and you basically can make yourself a little store. And it's not easy, but I've done that too. And I'm taking all the pictures of the products, and you're like, damn, it doesn't look that good. And you just don't have the right studio. It's you don't realize the can of worms you're opening up when you get into that stuff.
I do want to say this, though, because I don't want to... And if there's anything both of us can do with people, anybody like listening to this, is if they're getting into any kind of business, is yes, a website's extremely important. I mean, and again, there's bias there, but there's truth to that too. But at the same time, whether it's e-commerce, just opening a basic website, people who are like out there looking to get into a business of their own, I mean, I encourage them to study their market, reach out to people, mentors, get information, and do it. You know, and don't worry about having every single thing perfect to get started, because nothing's ever going to be perfect and complete. You know, that's why I said, again, websites are dynamic. You know, they're never, they're always, they should always be changing, right? So, you know, don't, you know, the message for entrepreneurs out there is don't wait for everything to be perfect. Don't worry if you don't have a huge budget for a website or if you can't compete with everybody online yet, like, you know, with e-commerce. Start at the ground level, you know, and believe in yourself and what you got going on and try and make it happen. And
can you set some of these websites up that if I post, like let's say I have a website and I want to post something to my Facebook, some quick, easy post, can you set that up so that it automatically updates to my website?
Yeah, yeah, sure. It's,
see, that to me would be a to me would be a great option, because honestly, the you know, the quickness of uploading pictures to a Facebook or to an Instagram is so quick, but I don't even, like my website now, luckily we don't post pictures on there, but if I had to, I don't even know how I would do that. I don't know. I don't. I haven't set it up like that. I don't have like a feed where people are going to come and, oh, what's going on in the, you know, the site, you know, they would probably go to something else, but it's not my forte, but it would be cool if that was, if I could set that up where I just post something and it automatically updates to my website.
And we can do that. But again, remember, if you have that feed, say from Instagram or Facebook, and that goes away, like they have a problem, you lose that too.
Yep.
So again, it's cool to have it as a as an add-on, as a feature, just so long as you have other content, you know, that's not necessarily dependent on that.
So if people want to go check out some of the stuff you've done, I know we got, you know, your Webco
Studios. It's webgostudios.com.
Webgostudios.com, and you have some great examples and stuff that you do up on.
Well, I mean, we think they're pretty good. I don't know what they'll think, but we'll see.
I want to hear yes. Yeah. Awesome. Well, listen, Joe. All those things. I think it's a, you know, I wanted to talk to you because I just feel like we're going through this weird transition, and it's... you know, I'm wondering what the next 10 years, I'm wondering what the next 5 years is going to look like as far as websites and Facebook and the Meta and all this transition. And, you know, I was just wondering how you're handling it. Because I know for me, I'm not handling it. I'm not really, I don't know what to do about it.
That's what I said, man. That's why for me, and that's why I mentioned the car thing earlier, is like and the Meta thing for me, like I can appreciate it and I try to stay up on it and look into it. And some things are very, very cool. But
so do you have a website for the car thing? Because that actually...
We don't, because, again, it's just really been a part of this. That's how I've done it for people. And we're actually putting some stuff together as we build a few more projects that we will. Because it's interesting, man. It's interesting. Whenever we talk about doing websites, people are like, oh, that's cool. And you talk about building cars, and they start to drool. For some reason,
right.
I think they just think it's such a it's a different, you know. But again, for me, it's all about the brand there, you know. You know, that's what we, you know, everybody we've done it for, except for one guy, has been somebody who we built a website for or done marketing work for. And then when we find out we can do that, you know.
Is there ever a time where you might suggest to somebody maybe less Facebook and just focus on your website?
I do a lot, and I say that because, and I always tell people, listen, if you're doing Facebook or anything that's working well for you, I'm not going to tell you not to do it.
Right.
But it's like direct mail. Like, you know, the open rate for direct mail is ridiculously low, just like the open rate for, if you're going to do, say, an email campaign, like, you know, to somebody's inbox versus a text campaign, do the text campaign.
Right.
An email campaign has, at best, a 15 to 20% open rate.
I'm not opening emails.
I'm saying so. That, yeah. So you know, but text campaigns and every study we've ever done has a 99 to 100% open rate.
Yeah, what's up with that? All of a sudden, I'm getting a bunch of text. It's kind of frustrating.
You know, it can be, and so I think you're going to find a swing there as well.
Right.
You know, once you know something becomes, I just got another phone call today from another Indian web developer who wants to develop a new site that I just bought. never mind the fact that that's what I do.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, people are reaching out through all kinds of channels to get business. But so back to your Facebook question, though, Dan, I say that a lot. If it works for you, if you do it, that's great. But use Facebook, if you're going to use it all, as a funnel, you know, like back to your brand. I don't think it's possible. I do think it's possible if you build the site right and you curate it correctly. It will show up and do, you know, online searches, things like that, and do a ton of work for you.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, if you can't do a lot, I still say put money into your and time into your own personal brand.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, if I'm going to make this great website, I would probably be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm open. You can check my Facebook to see if I'm open. But if you want to see, you know, I was really thinking about the car. You know, if you're starting to do a project on a car and you want to, you know, share pictures in the timeline and have a little bit more in-depth stuff into it onto the website, I don't know if I would share the same pictures on my Facebook.
No, I mean, you probably wouldn't, you know.
You know what? You want to follow us? Follow us on our website.
I can actually picture like some kind of like very low vintage chop car for you.
For
you
me?
Know, we can call it flat top. You know,
bro,
what I mean?
It's
a type of cut, right?
So. It's so funny that you mentioned this because my dad had this 48 Ford. It was so awesome, but it was so old.
Yeah.
It was in good shape, but it was in such bad shape, right? You know, it was in decent shape, but I think that the engine probably had tarnish in it. I mean, the gas had been setting for 40 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a lot of work, but he just gave me, he had a 1989 GTA Trans Am.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah, he just gave me it.
The white one's right there.
It's a silver with the gold, spoke wheels.
Yep.
And we're going to put a antique tag on it.
So GTA, that would have been the vet motor, right? The 350s in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a beast. But I drove it the other day, and I'm like, damn, this thing is sketchy. You know, I drive a Grand Cherokee now. I mean, this thing... But back in the day when my dad bought this car, we lived out in San Diego, I loved it.
I remember when they were new, though. Like, as a kid, I remember when they were new.
Oh, yeah.
They're the coolest thing.
And he's kept it in the garage. It's beautiful.
How many miles are on it? Probably not many, right?
Probably 130,000.
How much?
130.
That's still nothing on that.
No, it's a great car. And he gave it to me. And I'm like, problem is, I'm like, shit, I can drive this. But then I'm like if I had, if, like, this car would not do well in the weather we just went through, it would be a death trap.
Dude, I remember, but you know what's funny? So I was out the other day, yesterday. Now, I was driving a Ford Flex, so it's all-wheel drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still being careful, you know, with what's going on. But I remember, again, it's probably like mid-90s, I had a Mustang, the LX 5-liter, so the V8, but, you know, right? So just rear-wheel drive.
Yes.
And I drove from here to when I was going to, when I went to the University of Delaware, and it started snowing here and just did nothing but get worse. And if you remember with Wilmington at all, like, the, you know, like the city itself, they've got some, you know, decent hills there, and especially for snow and two-wheel drive with fat tires on the back. But I remember, I thought about that yesterday when I was driving around here, like I was being so cautious, and then I was being cautious, like I was being diligent, like paying attention, but I didn't think anything of it. It was so cool. You know, now you'd be like, and that car is horrible in that kind of weather.
Oh, yeah.
But you manage it, though, and that's what you got.
Yeah, some of those cars, they don't. I mean, I had a, we're not going to turn this into a car podcast, but I had a GA GT at one point, and it was rear wheel drive, like 400 horsepowers, and that thing is a...
Oh, the G8s are pretty neat. Yeah,
it was a death trap in the snow. I mean, I literally had to park it, and I think my wife had to come pick me up or something. Well, listen, Joe, thank you. Good chat. Come check him out. If you're looking for a website, need some website advice, go to webgostudios.com. And if you need your car worked on.
Only custom stuff.
Only custom stuff. Only if you're cutting stuff off.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Listen, Joe, thank you. I appreciate it, bro.
Hey, man, thank you.
All right, bud.
Bye.